Oh no.
Blog Talk Radio.
Battle was too much. Like a war of attrition, you know. Not often. Oh, sorry.
No, we're not sorry.
Should I tweet or not yet?
I think I'm ready to go.
To the
Did
bathroom?
You call Block Talk?
Oh. Yeah, we're here. Ready. You guys ready?
Oh, yeah. So ready.
The plan's been made.
Yep.
Go!
This is your announcer, Shannon Saint Mainframe, welcoming you to our IP livecast. This baby formula shortage has gone far enough. Our very own Rabah has decided to step in and offer his very own artisan now breast milk to all the hungry babies out there. I hope you like your breast milk frothy. Our IP live cast starts now.
My breast milk isn't naturally frothy. You gotta get one of those froth wands to get it all frothy.
So you don't froth for them? They have to do that once they receive the froth?
I mean, I can, but like I wouldn't insist on it if they
cost extra.
I wouldn't charge. I want the babies of America to eat, and if I could provide them with nutrition, I will do so because I am a good person, and I am pro-abortion.
Well, that's the best thing of all. Just don't have them in the first place, and then they don't have to eat, and we solve the problem.
They don't have to drink Rob's breast milk. A fate welcome worse than death, some might say.
Welcome to RIP Livecast. It's Rob. My breasts are in my shirt, and they are not lactating. Here with Sid.
Hello.
And Darren.
Hi. Rob, I don't know if I believe you that they're not lactating. Can we see?
Yeah.
Look.
Pixar didn't happen.
There's no milk coming out of my
shirt. You're wearing a white
shirt.
Curiously chosen.
So wouldn't it seep through? What does that mean, white shirt? What, like if I'm wearing a black shirt, you would see it better?
Yeah,
because whip them out Saturday, Rob. Let's see them.
I don't feel like it right now. But maybe if we get a call, I might be.
That's what we call
I might
teaser.
Consider it. 213-WIDE-NUT is the number. That's 213-943-3688.
That's a teaser and a teetster.
Teetster. I'm a little hungover this morning. I'm fine. I hydrated. I had breakfast. Moving a little slow, but I went to a concert. I went to two concerts this week, in fact. Who am I? It is like it's 1999 all over again. I went and I saw the Deftones and Gojira earlier in the week. And then last night I saw Slipknot and Cypress Hill, which was very fun. I'll talk about the Deftones show first for a second. The show was at Pier 17, which for any of our New York audience, it's basically if you're on the highway in the city, the FDR, and you see a very lit up tiny building right before the Brooklyn Bridge, and you're like, what the hell is that? That's Pier 17. It's a nice rooftop venue, and like the under it is they basically made like a food court kind of mall, like a mall of fancy restaurants. Like there's a fancy Mamafuku and whatever. And honestly, it is the coolest place to see a concert in New York City because, and this is not hyperbole, because the stage, like the backdrop of the stage is the Brooklyn Bridge. It's a beautiful day outside. I mean, the conditions have to be right weather-wise, of course.
Yeah.
But like it was insane. Like the sunset and then when it was dark and Deftones were playing, you kind of see the cars passing on the bridge and they're illuminating. And it's just, I was like, wow, this is beautiful. I'm like,
revelation.
Loving it. Yeah, it was great. It was the first time that I was just like, I want to come back and see shows specifically at this venue. And I looked up like whatever shows there were at the venue just to see if there was any other reason to come back, and there are.
Screwdriver, you're going to be seeing them next week.
Right? I think they've broken up, and they might be – I don't think they could fill up Pier 17. It's a big venue. But Blondie is playing later this summer, and I think I'm going to go to see that. So that should be really fun.
Screwdriver likes blonde people, so that's
– Yeah, it's true.
That's a good point. They might be in the crowd.
Yeah. I think the lead singer of Screwdriver is dead, but the rest of them, perhaps the rhythm section.
Piss.
Sad. Very sad. Knew him well.
Oh, did Trump give him a shout out?
We're getting to that later on.
Yeah, we'll get to that. But
he gave a shout out to someone that he knew very well, apparently.
Big fan.
El Jadrino asks about the venue, Pier 17. It was hanging over the Hudson River. Sounds dangerous. It was not dangerous at all. There's barriers. I don't know. You can't fall over, I don't think.
And also, Deuterino, look who you're talking to. If the barrier were to break and Rob fell into the river, he could just shimmy his way among the calamari and the all the other animal life in the ocean. This is where he lives, basically.
Yeah, my base layer of skin might buy all the acid in the Hudson River, but I would make it back to shore, no problem.
True. Fair point.
Also, big shout out to security at Pier 17 for not giving a shit about my joints, not giving a shit about any of the joints. It was quite a smoke out. And you know, I have to give credit to my fellow potheads. We all together decided to create a smoke spot, and it was at like the most furthest away from the rest of the crowd. All the potheads are trying to be considerate and contain their pot smoke to one little area.
Now, I have a question. Ed, forgive me. This may be a naive question. I apologize in advance. I haven't smoked weed in probably over 15 years. I'm not in touch with the culture. I have nothing against weed or anything. I have trouble following, like, where and when it's okay. Like, isn't it legal? Like, why do you have to have a smoke spot?
Yeah, I was going to ask the same thing. I thought, like, the security just isn't allowed to give a shit anymore.
Right.
Like, not that it was a choice.
Well, no, it's not that they're totally allowed. Like, for example, at Barclays Center, which is where the concert was yesterday, they were confiscating lighters. So venues might still not want you to smoke inside of them.
Well, I guess it depends if it's an indoor or an outdoor venue, maybe. Does that...
Some venues are more hard-asses about it than others.
So they just say, basically, people are going to a show, they may not all want weed smoke in their face. So even though it's legal, they're regulated.
To be clear, there was no rule that you had to go to the side to smoke pot.
Right,
all the potheads were just being considerate. So that was it. There might have been pot smokers in the middle of the pit, but I always feel weird when I'm doing that. I'm blowing smoke at all these evil faces that didn't sign up for it.
You know? Are you? You're very tall. Can't you just like aim it up and then it's in the sky?
I guess it'll just loop back. It doesn't.
I guess.
I'm not that big of a dragon. with my fire breathing.
But to be fair, this was like a lot of these people were in the first stage of weed before the gateway goes to meth when they develop a bad attitude. So that's why. They were happy to go to the side, but give them a few weeks, they'll probably be horrible people.
The thing. The meth heads were doing it all in the middle of the fucking mosh pit. They were so inconsiderate. It was very rude.
Sucks, man. The former potheads, of course, because that's what happens with weed.
Yeah. Weird, though. You know, I've been smoking pot for about 20 years now. I haven't tried meth yet.
That's just what a meth head would say, though. You know, they lie a lot.
So speaking of pot, yesterday I went to see Cypress Hill and Slipknot, and the band Horror opened up, and I was very upset because I only caught the last two songs of Horror because they lied to me, they being the venue. I saw that Doors were at 6:30 and they said the show starts 1 hour after Doors open. I planned to get there at 7:30. Got there at 7, and they were just about done.
What?
So they started at 6:30, which was bullshit.
That's fucking weird.
But the two songs that I saw sounded very, very good, and they sound great, and the Slipknot audience was very confused, and it was wonderful. I mean, some people were into it. This is that group I think I mentioned to you guys where I went to see them. This is a few years ago I mentioned. This was back in the Christina days even. And I felt very old because the crowd was like really into them and I kind of didn't get it at first. And then I did get it and then I realized it wasn't for me. You know, all that. Because they kind of do the blend of hip-hop and hardcore. Some of it isn't my style, but some of it I do dig.
Sound like when you were dating women.
What?
You kind of didn't get it. You got it, but it wasn't for you.
Oh, he got it.
Anyway, and then Cypress Hill played. And like I mentioned, security was confiscating lighters. Here's the trick to not get your lighter confiscated. When you get to the metal detector, don't take your lighter out.
No.
That's it. Don't take your lighter. Most of the time, you'll get through.
What if you bring matches instead?
You could do that. That's a great backup. I always have matches as backup. You never know. But it's
and
like,
when you start strike a match and you set someone on fire, they can just jump into the Hudson River.
Rob strikes a match and Darren catches fire. That's what
well, no, this is
every weekend, this motherfucker.
This is now Barclay Center.
I'm on my eighth skin graft now.
So I was kind of like, when they were still starting, I was a little, like, I held back a lot. I was like, let me let other people light up their weed that they smuggled in and see how security reacts. Because, you know, during the earlier set, security was walking around the pit, which I found surprising. I don't usually see them do that.
It was probably fairly empty, no, at that point?
Yes, it was much emptier.
So they're not going to walk around the pit when the fans are packed in there.
Well,
that
I wasn't sure. Well, the good news is security was not stopping anyone from smoking weed, and it was a wonderful time. Being amongst it, like, it's the only time that weed culture does not feel cringy to me is when I'm watching Cypress Hill. Like, they're allowed. And it was such a great celebration of marijuana. And unfortunately, Sendog was not there.
Mm.
I was very upset.
With him?
He apparently is hospitalized. He has some sort of illness, undisclosed non-COVID related illness that he or injury that he is dealing with. They're trying not to, disclose.
That bummed me out.
They didn't say anything at the show?
They didn't say, they just said he was in the hospital, that we want to send him good vibes. And like at the end of the show, we took a photo and like they were like, hey, everybody, you know, can you just say, you know, get well, Sendog on three? And we all said it.
What
with pleasure, because
he's a great guy.
And I have like, it was an amazing show seeing Cypress Hill, but obviously without Sendog, it was absolutely not the same. Because like, he is such a great hype man. And
who,
you know,
did his parts?
Nobody. They just had, the DJ would kind of play them as a backing track, or
okay,
the DJ and the drummer, Eric Boba. would just kind of fill in the hype ups. Obviously, you know, I've been a Cypress Hill fan for over 20 years now, and I don't know, like, it didn't hit me how gangsta the lyrics are. Not that I didn't know that they were, but like when I was just there, and you know, they have a lot of sing-alongs, and some of the things they get you to shout back at them. It's like, what am I saying? I've never felt more white. Singing back, like shouting back Cypress Hill lyrics.
Did you shout out the
N-word?
I was just going
to
ask.
Well, I was just going to get to that because I caught myself. There is one part in Hand on the Pump, which is my song for the livecast music break this week.
Sawed off shotgun, hand on the pump. Go ahead.
Keep going. Sip it out of 40.
Pour on a
point. Something, something, something. And then the part to the crowd is you, Edwards, getting
jump.
Shot.
No,
or getting jumped.
And I
was like, I was with it the whole time. And then it got done. I'm like, oh, wait, no. I'm not saying this part.
That's a big debate, I feel like, in the black community is whether white people can sing along to an established song that they know or not. Because I've heard both sides of this expressed from both from people who have a right to talk about this, excluding what white people think, because who cares? But I've heard it in my anecdotal experience, it's like 50-50, I would say. Like some black people are like, it's a fucking song. Like, it doesn't matter. It's a song. Other people are like, no, never, not even once.
I've only mostly heard that take, that side.
I think it's both make sense to me. I think both sides make sense to me, and I don't have really.
My old thing is, if the artist is inviting it, I think it's fine. But I say this as a white person who has no right to speak. Mm-hmm. But
I have a right to speak, but your opinion is outweighed, obviously, by black people.
Yeah, but like I'm not saying it. I don't. But also, just like, I forget. Let me look up the set.
Just err on the side of caution of not saying it. Like, I'm sure if someone was at a concert and they were lost in a moment and they just sang along with the Cypress Hill lyric and they said the N-word, that's not really the worst offense in the world, but it's better not to. Just don't do it.
And then just, you know, like the chant along at the end of that song is pop, pop.
Yeah.
And it's just
fun.
I love it. I mean, it was so fun. Like, he's such a good frontman, Be Real. He really did a great job of trying to, like, it wasn't the same without Sendog, but it was still an incredible experience.
Can imagine.
I would go their new that. DJ that they had was really good. He did like a short 15-minute set right before they went on. Like, they started like 10 minutes early or whatever. And it was really cool because it was almost like a history of New York hip hop kind of jam. Like, he blasted Biggie and ODB and, you know, like all the good stuff. And then he played the riff from Enter Sandman, but he scratched it up. Mm. And it was the first
Mariana
time.
And then Mariana Rivera came out.
It was
lines.
The first time in like 10 years that I actually enjoyed listening to Enter Sandman. it was actually a new spin on it.
That wasn't included on the Metallica 85 versions of their song album.
The one interesting version that they didn't even
that wasn't.
It in there.
I wanted to also point out that newer listeners may not know that we interviewed Sendog and his new side project and his bandmates. And that is actually on episode 420.
Right? Oh, that's right. I totally forgot that it worked out that way. That's one of my all-time favorite episodes. That was the first time that it didn't hit me how starstruck I was until the interview started.
Yeah. He's got a presence. Well, first of all, people should know we used to do this as an audio podcast only. And he was there in person. His whole band was there. And he just commands a room, man. Like, he barely, even when he's not saying anything, he's just got an aura, that guy.
And we'll be posting pictures and links to that episode later this week, but we'll wait until Sendog dies, and then we'll do it to coincide with that.
No, come on, Sid. That's inappropriate.
Am I wrong?
Yes.
We don't know.
That's
not nice.
So if 3 days from now Sendog passes away, we will not post the link to that episode, you're saying?
No. All right. Now we won't, because you jinxed it.
You fucked it up. Sorry, Sid.
I said the quiet part loud. Is that what happened?
Disgusting.
What's disgusting? The live cast curse is a real thing.
Well, that was like 5 years ago, though. Is it still a curse?
At any point, if he dies of old age, at the ripe old age of 93, we're still to blame.
But everybody dies.
I suppose. I don't know that for certain.
Oh, one other thing I want to mention about, well, two things. First of all, Cypress Hill have a song called Pigs, which is, believe it or not, about police officers.
Can't believe it.
They did a nice little remix of it, so they used the beat from the classic KRS-One song, Sound of the Police, and the hook. And then they did their rap over it.
Oh, cool.
Also, I didn't realize, but I mean, I did realize, but in that song, Be Real drops the F-bomb, and I'm not talking about fuck. No. Called one of the pigs a gay slur, which
is that surprising? That was like in every rap song of that era.
Yeah, I guess so.
Well, Rob has now an opportunity to weigh in on this as the black people weigh in on the N-word debate. So can a white person say that F-word in a song if it's a song lyric?
Do you mean a straight
person? Well, I mixed them up because I was talking about both in the
song. Wait,
can a white person say it?
I am of the belief that straight people shouldn't say faggot. And I think it's fine when gay people call each other faggot as a term of endearment. But no, which isn't to say that, like, I was ready to walk out at this concert. I'm not, like, I don't get stuffy about
it. I understand.
It.
Well, so how about this? Do you think I've heard this same?
Also,
argument.
I'm not even sure if he actually said it during the live performance. No, listening back, I don't remember hearing it explicitly.
Oh, I was
are you sure
say,
it was even in the song, or was it just people in your section
in
yelling it at you? Were you crying that you didn't realize?
I was not even crying.
Okay,
I was in the pit.
But I've
sorry,
heard. I've heard. Now I forgot my train of thought. Now it's gone. I'll let you know if I remember.
Okay. Well, I bring this up because interestingly, in Insane in the Membrane, you know, in the hook, it's like because an N-word like me is going insane, he changed that to a homie like me is going insane. So he would not refer to himself as the N-word, but in one of those other songs, Hand on the Pump, he did. He referred to people he was shooting or jumping rather as the N-word.
Well, they're not his homies.
Right.
Yeah.
I remember what I was going to say now. I've heard black people sometimes say that criticize other black people for saying the N-word because saying it freely, it makes white people feel they can do it freely. So do you think that about the F word for gay people? Like maybe if gay people say it to each other, do you think that allows cis straight people to do it?
Well, look, I feel like if you have a close enough kinship with person mm-hmm. and they call you a faggot mm-hmm. and you're okay with it, that's fine. Like another gay person can't come up and be like, you can't say that. Like it's right. Like their relationship. You can't.
So Rob, by saying that, are you granting Darren and I permission to call you that?
No.
Well, we're not close enough to him.
We don't have that close enough of a kitchen. I can't speak for an entire team, but
just
for
your
me
opinion,
personally,
I'm asking.
For me personally, I think it's like if you're, you know, if you know the person, doesn't mean it hatefully.
What if the Iron Sheiks called you that? Would you be, because he uses that word a lot. Would you be okay with that?
But he uses it as a pejorative.
But, you know, he calls like Nikolai a cheap Jew Russia, but he loves him. Like, would you, if it was
no, but
same...
like when he uses fag, he uses it when he's like knocking people. So no, I wouldn't. But to be clear, when he was saying that, it was funny to me. It wasn't like. It wasn't like, you know, I was here to cancel Iron Sheik, but I feel it is inappropriate.
I agree, but I think that things like that are part of the humor is how outdated they are. Like, you know, when I hear Iron Sheik saying that, I laugh, and I'm not laughing at, like, the butt of the joke isn't gay people for being slurred. It's how stupid he is. You know what I mean? That he still thinks
yeah, but
that's
it's a very nuanced.
I agree. Well, that's why I don't. When I
but
do
also,
the impression, I don't say that word anymore. But I still think, you know what I mean? Like,
well,
I think
also he doesn't say it anymore. He hasn't said it in a really long time. So,
but who
Iron
really
Sheik
talking
has hashtag grown as well. But Cypress Hill were incredible, and Slipknot put on a wonderful performance. It was great theater. The bassist has a flamethrower bass like in Mad Max. It's pretty nice.
Okay,
it's fun.
So they took Corey away lighters, but he's allowed to have a fucking flamethrower?
Yeah, he's lighting everyone's joints
unfair.
Up.
Unfair.
What are they, fucking Gwar?
It was more Rammstein than Gwar, I would say.
Oh, okay.
Does
he take out a giant prosthetic penis and shoot weed into the audience? Like, what?
Oh, my God.
That was during the Cypress Hill set. Oh, one more thing I want to say about Be Real. I was blown up. First of all, there is a designated smoke break. Like, there was a point where they're like, now's the time to get out your joints, folks. Let's smoke some weed. And there's, like, their medley of explicitly pot songs, like, I Want to Get High and you know, Hits from the Bong.
It's so funny that they have enough to make a medley.
and then, like, roll it up, light it up, smoke it up. And I was so impressed because at one point I took, like, I inhaled. And you know, there was a hook that is very catchy and I like started singing it, forgetting that I inhaled, and I just coughed up my entire inhale like a doofus. Meanwhile, Be Real fucking inhales, says like two bars, and then exhales this massive hit like it was nothing.
And I was he does this every night. He's a professional.
This guy's lung control is so impressive. So definitely go see Cypress Hill and Slipknot if they're coming to your town. I think it's only on the East Coast this half of the tour. Deuterino writes, who do you think won the Versus, Cypress Hill or Onyx? I didn't see this. Do you guys know about this Versus show?
I know about it, but I haven't watched them.
Yeah, I keep hearing about it. I do want to see it, but I don't necessarily want to pay for it because it's a pay-per-view event where they invite two hip-hop groups or artists to have a rap battle, right? And then, like, the crowd votes.
Typically, my experience with Versus is when Deezus and Mero make fun of it, like, a couple days after it airs. So I just get it from them, but they haven't done that in quite some time. So I didn't even realize it was still going on, unless that's an old one.
I bet it's because they're so protective of the footage that they might have gotten like cease and desist or something about that. Yeah.
Maybe. But I'd have to think that Cypress Hill would beat Onyx in one of those. Onyx, like Cypress Hill is a band with like an actual catalog. Onyx is just the guys that did that song Slam.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
And also not Onyx bad. Is kind of a gimmick act. Like they were just the guys that screamed like, made crazy faces and stuff.
Like DOS Effects.
Did I mention that I went to high school with one of the guys from Onyx? I think I may have said that.
I don't know.
Yeah, I wasn't like his buddy or anything, but I knew of him, and he was like the weed guy. Basically, there was like that. I'm so old that I went to high school before weed was like a big black community thing. Like it was sort of what the white hippie kids did, you know, and it was nerdy. And it was just starting to, I guess this was like before The Chronic came out, which was like the number one thing that shifted weed culture, I would say, if you would agree with that, I don't know. But so he was just like always smoking with the white kids and stuff and like under the grandstands and very nice guy. Always talked about having a rap career and most of the people were like, yeah, whatever, fuck out of here. And then one day he was just on MTV.
Which Onyx guy is
it? Sticky Fingers.
Oh, wow. The most famous one. That's awesome.
Is he the most famous one?
He's the only one whose name I would have instantly recognized as being the guy from Onyx. Other ones?
I thought the other guy was the one that went into movies and stuff. The shorter one.
Isn't that Sticky Fingers?
No. Well, maybe I'm mixing their rap names up.
Hold on.
The one that went to school with me was the tall one. Taller one, not the little guy.
Fredro Starr and Sticky Fingers.
Yeah,
and
Fredro
Starr
is definitely the little guy. Yeah, so Sticky Fingers was the one, definitely the taller guy, the one that I knew. Well, didn't really know, I can't say. He was like my friend.
So maybe
he was a cool guy.
I've had them mixed up all this time.
Yeah, Fredro's the little guy, for sure.
Oh, okay, so yeah, then I did have them mixed up. Shame on me.
Okay.
Those Sticky Fingers did also act.
Did he? I didn't follow his career after Onyx, to be honest.
He was a regular on the short-lived UPN series Platinum.
No idea.
He also played the part of Private Maurice Williams in the FX series Over There.
Never heard of it.
Me neither. He was in Next Friday.
That
he
I
was
saw.
On The Shield.
Don't know any of this.
No. So both of them got into a little bit of acting.
I definitely liked that album they put out, but it was also very gimmicky. It was like at that time, early 90s hip-hop, everything was like gimmicks, like DOS Effects. They had to do all these like weird lyrical like nonsense word patterns and stuff. And
like Bone Thugs and Harmony was sort of gimmicky.
Yeah, a lot of gimmick acts, but Cypress Hill was the real shit.
I take issue with something you said offhandedly earlier, Darren. You said that marijuana was only a white hippie thing. I question the
Jamaican Rastafarian.
Yeah. Well, can I rephrase that? Because that's a fair criticism, I would say. I would say it was stigmatized as a white hippie thing when I went to high school. It was seen as a white cultural thing by other teenagers that I went to.
Yeah, I think pop culture-wise, the white hippie might have been the stand-in, but I feel like weed was always in black.
That is a fair point, but I do think I do think there was a contingent of black people who looked down on weed and certainly thought it was like a white, you know, white people trying to dope us and stuff like that. Like, I think that was a big in my consciousness.
Well, like when I read the weed history stuff, the whole reason Nixon pushed to outlaw it is because it was popular amongst socialist hippies and black people.
I didn't mean that like black people never smoked weed before Dr. Dre came out. I'm sorry if I gave that impression. I did not
just
mean
in
that.
The pop culture.
Yes, it was not the phenomenon that it was, where like it's everywhere now.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's fair.
Yeah. No, that I agree. Culturally, Dr. Dre popularized it for sure. But you had to think that George Clinton was smoking pot before the Chronic came out.
Or in some of the songs about it, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
But also, I feel like George Clinton was like a very big star among like white people. He was like a crossover star.
Mm-hmm.
George Clinton is like the next in my list of like deep dives of like him and, you know, all of his groups of prominent Funkadelic. Because I feel like I would love that shit. I already know I would. So I need to like get into it.
It's sexual, it's dancey, and it's about drugs and like open your mind. It's like I got Rabba written all over it.
Yeah.
One of my favorite Sirius channels, my favorite deep cuts on Sirius XM, this is a free read. They didn't pay for this one. Is The Groove. It's like through 80s R&B and soul, and it's the best. It's so good.
That's nice.
It's all just like funk and like when music had character.
Is this funk? Like, do they have like, or they have like R and like Motown in there, or like what?
Motown is a different channel, so no Motown.
Okay.
So, who are some of like your favorite artists from this channel?
All of them.
This is like we caught you wearing a t-shirt, and now we want to know
your top five songs. But I'm telling you that I don't.
Songs come up, you see who the artist are. Does anything stood out?
One of my favorite songs from there is The Gap Band, You Dropped a Bomb on Me.
That song
is like the epitome of that station, because it's like all songs like that. But I don't know, you put me on the spot too much. I can't think of anything right now.
You brought it up, man.
I defend Rob slightly on this, because there are times when I just put on something and I just want to listen to random songs and I don't need to know who the artists are and just, you know, absorb what it sounds like, kind of.
Yeah, and then it'll have like, you know, like early Whitney Houston or Diana Ross on there, stuff like that. Or what was her name, the other one?
The Ohio Players?
Maybe, I don't know.
Commodores?
Yeah, they definitely would have Commodores.
One of the earliest memories I have is from Diana Ross. Honestly, I can remember being 3 years old and my mother took me somewhere and Diana Ross Upside Down was playing. And you ever have
such a great song.
And I have no idea why I remember this so vividly. And it's like over 40 years ago now. And I just somehow just remember that. Like I don't even know what we were doing. I just remember being somewhere in like near South Street Seaport.
It is crazy how like a song could be like a time warp. Like it gives you such a vivid memory of just like a moment in time, like how you're mentioning that.
Yeah.
I kind of had that a lot last night at the Slipknot show when Slipknot would play these songs from like, I don't know, 15 years ago, and I just remember what was going on in my life.
So you're saying Slipknot is your Diana Ross?
Absolutely, without question.
I just looked it up, by the way. The song came out when I was 5, so I was wrong about being 3 years old.
Upside down, before you turn me inside out. Run.
All right.
Welcome to the Diana Ross cast.
Diana Ross is one of those celebrities that, I really had a big crush on her as a kid, but also one of the people that kind of disappointed me, like when I got to be an adult and she's just kind of like an asshole to everybody. She's like the definition of being a diva, I feel like.
Yeah.
So it's like she's, you know, the legend is, it's like Dave Mustaine, honestly. She's like the soul Dave Mustaine. She's like the music and the legend is better than the person.
Mm-hmm.
But how much of that is true and how much of that is just a cultivated image Like, I never knew. Like, what are the actual horror stories about Diana Ross?
Oh, you just always hear people that were on tour with her saying she was, like, mean to them and stuff. And she's, like, commandeering and, like, you know, she just talks down to people and she's condescending. Mm. But I couldn't give you, like, a specific list.
Okay.
But yeah, that's, it's like, I don't know. Just don't meet your idols or don't, like, know about your idols is the best thing.
The thing I most recently learned about Diana Ross was she had a long-term relationship with Barry Diller, mm-hmm. who is a very famous rich person who owns like media conglomerates, but he's also a closeted gay man. So I'm always fascinated by these relationships that he's had. And also, you know, I guess he could be bi or pan. You know, I don't want to.
Or
I don't want
to. I'm sorry.
But for example, he's married to. He's currently married to Diane von Fostenberg or
Furstenberg?
Furstenberg.
Yeah. But it feels like a total marriage of convenience because I vividly remember back in the glory days of Gawker, a young gay man posted like on Instagram or some social media network that they had just spent a weekend on Barry Diller's yacht. And it's like Barry Diller and like four very young muscle gays. And it's like
boys.
Diane von Fostenberg, nowhere
Furstenberg.
To be found. Furstenberg.
Diane von Furstenberg, last in sexually fulfilling relationship.
Well, that's like my question. You say it's a marriage of convenience, but that age and that level of wealth, what's the convenience? Well, at like that point, you just do whatever the fuck you want?
No, because when you have these events, you need to, like, come with somebody. And so they're just
But what events are people in that circle going to where there's, like, a stigma on coming with somebody of the same sex?
You just need to – well
– they're in the fashion industry or the entertainment industry that's most friendly to this kind of
– I mean, I agree with you. That's why it's so fascinating to me because it doesn't – like, exactly what you're saying is why it's fascinating. They still feel the need to keep this facade even though nobody cares.
Yeah,
but I have a question. Could it be more that like this is a good situation for them? Like they just get to fuck whoever they want of any gender they want, and they have some kind of tax shelter arrangement or you know what I mean? Like I feel like they may not even be hiding anything. They may not be hiding anything.
Well, it's not like just like really good friends, and they like hanging out together, and then they fuck who they want to fuck.
Right. Yeah. But also, isn't Barry Diller like, isn't he like a billion years old? Like maybe he comes from a era where you just didn't talk about that and he's not being pressured. He just doesn't want to do it publicly, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
Dusty Rhodes Muffler, very good call. That guy looks like Mike from Better Call Saul. He sort of does.
He does. He's aged better than Mike from Better Call Saul.
Well, if Mike from Better Call Saul was a billionaire,
he
might look a little less dusty.
Yeah, wow, he was old 40 years ago.
Yeah.
Oof. Recently. That kind of looks like he's youngish with a bad hairline on it.
Oh, this? No, this is more recent. This is like
the one. No, the one you had up earlier.
Oh,
that
this
one. Yeah.
He
looks like George the Animal Steel's well put together brother.
He looks like some unnamed AWA wrestler. That was like he was like a headliner.
Baron von Furstenberg.
I'm going to put my media claw on you. Yeah. In Tacoma, Washington. This weekend.
Hopefully he doesn't have like audio bots on. And now that we've talked about it, we're on a list. Because the man owns a lot of media properties. He's also the one that built that little island. You know that island on the Hudson River?
Epstein Island?
Oh.
No, different island.
On the East River, you said? He built Rikers?
Not on the East
just
River.
Just so we can watch
the
inmate shower.
No, on like by like Chelsea Piers, there's like a new park that opened, and it's totally built on top of the water.
Yeah,
is that the one?
I
haven't seen it. Little Island.
Little Island, yeah.
Is that the one
he built that?
Underneath the concert you went to?
Well, he didn't build it. He paid for it.
Yes.
He's not there. He's not there doing the building.
Well, I got what
mixing
you meant.
Cement.
Yeah.
But it is an artificial island, you're saying?
Yes.
Okay.
And like
a bunch of those in New York.
Is anything in this man's life real? He's got a sham marriage. He's got an artificial island. What the fuck?
His bald-ass head is real, I'm pretty sure. He didn't put a toupee on there.
But I just love stories like that. stuff like that is so fascinating to me because it's essentially how I envisioned, how I imagined, how, like, I didn't think it through, but, like, when I was deeply in the closet, like, as a 20-year-old, like, that's how I envisioned, oh, I'll just, like, find some woman, you know, who's, like, totally cool with me sleeping
around. Noah. Her name was Noah.
Yeah, sure.
Did you ever think at any point that, like, getting involved with a woman who you got along with great, like Noah, but maybe someone else, that would make you into a straight person, or we never reached that point, or you got over that quickly?
What do you mean make me into a straight
person? Did you think, like, by doing the actions of a heterosexual person, you'd like, sort of become straight? Were you delusional in that
Not
way?
Not become straight. No. I would be
you
passing.
Knew. You knew for
sure. But then, like, I would still have this, yeah, like, even when I assumed I would not have gay relations outwardly, you know, I was still into it. I wasn't, like, if I was watching straight porn, I wasn't looking at the woman.
Right, I got you. I heard other gay friends of mine say, like, they were trying to get into relationships, hetero relationships, because they thought maybe they were just in a phase and maybe they would get to become hetero.
That they just didn't meet the right girl yet?
Something like that, yeah. Varying.
Yeah, I mean, internalized homophobia is a very big thing, especially among older generations. I think what's so funny is I feel like now Republicans, like, their whole complaints about the gay agenda is, like, they're almost like, there's not enough internalized homophobia in this world. These gay people, they're too comfortable with their with the shit that they're born with.
They're not disgusted with themselves enough. Like, we are with ourselves.
Yeah,
exactly.
We can't. We need more babies so that we can make sure they're disgusted with themselves. Less abortions, please. Oh, that's going to be a drop. Shit. Dusty says, Rob, you were a big fan of that Nacho Vidal porn. Is that true?
Was
he a hetero
Vidal again?
Porn actor? Oh, yeah, yes. I guess that's, yeah.
He's a hetero porn actor. Good-looking guy.
Oh.
I can say that confidently without being attracted to him.
So who are these other gay friends you have, Darren, and have you tried to set Rob up with them?
Rob's in a relationship, but it's not my business to be setting him up. I don't like to set any friends regardless of orientation.
Also, how close-minded of you, Sid, to think that just because we're gay, we would be into each other?
I mean, isn't that the whole thing?
No.
I'm like
I'm anti-yenta.
Like, honestly, I feel like it doesn't matter gay or straight. I just feel so self-conscious of the presumption that my tastes are so good that I'm going to hook you up with someone that you're going to fall in love with. Like, who the fuck am I to know that?
I don't know that it needs to go all the way that way. You hook him up with somebody that he could, you know, bang one out on and move on with
his
life.
Here's the great thing about being gay. It's really not hard to find somebody to bang one out on.
Yeah.
Men are pigs.
All right, so if I know the next gay person I find, I'll send them over your way.
Yeah, you're going to be just searching.
The next one I come across, I'll send them over.
Well, if you've already come across them, I feel weird coming across
them. I'll give them a towel first.
No, but yeah, for the longest time, I was like, oh, no, I'm going to have a family and kids because that's what my parents want. You know, like, that was kind of my mental state until I realized, like, wait, what do I want? You know, what works for Robba?
I'm glad we can talk about this stuff openly now.
Well, the idea of having a child is much more glamorous than the reality of having a child.
Is it?
So I'm not
glamorous
sure.
Even an idea?
Well, I don't know. Or, like, you know what I mean.
I know,
like,
what you mean.
Like
appealing. It's
appealing. Yeah,
there
yeah,
are
yeah.
good, great, rewarding parts to it, but it's a lot of fucking work.
Yeah, the actual day-to-day is tough. And it's like,
what if
I really want that?
Adopt, like, a really jacked 19-year-old? Adopt? And then you just have, like, a young twink living with you? You could, like, wash him and stuff?
That's creepy. That's creepy.
So, like Barry Taylor building an island, but for kids?
Here I thought that you were asking a sincere question, Then you had
it's
to make
not
it
insincere.
Weird. I have jokingly was like, well, maybe we could just adopt like a 5-year-old, get through, like skip all the baby bullshit, and just get to the fun stuff.
What's the fun stuff?
Just hanging out with the kid. I don't know why that might have sounded creepier than my intention.
You can't return it, Rob. When they start like shitting on things, you have to deal with that.
Well, I would assume they're potty trained by 5.
Oh, I didn't mean shitting like literal shitting. I meant like shitting like breaking things in the house and like.
No, that's fine.
Metaphorically shitting on.
I break shit in the house all the time.
What if he broke your frother though?
I'm not. I would be impressed. It's like it's very sturdy, you know. For him to break it, he has to really do something.
Fair enough. What if he broke some of your Apple products?
Oh no. Unforgivable.
Then he's going back to the foster camp.
I got the receipt, you little fuck. Dusty says you can adopt Beetlejuice. He's available. He's available.
Well, let's talk about this Trump clip. So
I can't help but laugh just knowing what this is. Sorry.
I'm so excited to talk about this. You know, we mentioned Tommy Vex on the show a few times. Someone who I was at one point acquaintances with who now is very, very deep red MAGA, perhaps dark MAGA even. Who knows?
Explain what that is again. I keep seeing that in social media lately.
I just saw when Madison Cawthorn tweeted. It's like, this time it's serious. I don't know. He was just like, we're going to call out all the, you know, poser Republicans because, like, dark MAGA is. I thought dark MAGA was bad. Out of context, it seems like dark MAGA is like, oh, the underbelly of MAGA.
they're like the Joker.
But they mean it positively. They mean it like this is the unfiltered MAGA.
Yeah. Okay.
It's crazy because they hate dark-skinned people, and yet they call themselves dark MAGA.
That's not necessarily. I feel like
there's
a lot of MAGAs who are in fact... people of color, which is...
Well, Tommy Vext is a person of color, isn't
Tommy
he?
Tommy Vext, exactly. Yes, he is
black.
Very much so.
I think he's half black. Is that what it is?
Yes, at one point he did say he never experienced racism until he got kicked out of his band, and then he said it was because of racism, which it wasn't. It was because they were affecting the bottom line. Anyway, so he... I've, you know, now that I'm not with Metal Injection, I'm pretty checked out on day-to-day stuff, which is great. But just the other day, I was like, oh, what's going on with Tommy Vext? I haven't, you know, because sometimes, I don't know if I mentioned on the show, there are a few acquaintances from my past life that have been red-pilled. And I still like to follow them just because I like to, you know, dip my toe in, like, what are the loonies thinking? Like what are the memes in this sphere? You know the criticism that like on social media you're too much in your own echo chamber.
Mm-hmm.
I like to dip into other echo chambers to see what's going on there and to be like, oh, that's what they're saying, you know. So with that in mind, I was like, oh, what's Tommy Vext going on about? And so he's been kicked off Instagram now, I guess, because he was posting too much anti-vax stuff or just anti, I don't even know. Like he was the anti-COVID train, like he was anti-mask, anti-vax, anti-everything. He's a big freedom of thought. Anyway, so his only social media now is Twitter. And like, I just want to point out, he had such a big following on Instagram. He had like maybe 500,000 followers. And now because he couldn't stop posting anti-vax stuff, because he's so pure of thought, he couldn't, mm-hmm. like he lost his entire base for business. And now his only way to promote stuff, I'm assuming, is through his Twitter account. anyway, so I checked his Twitter account and he shared this video. And honestly, I haven't laughed this hard in so long. The tweet is captioned, "Now the Elon Musk," I think he meant now that Elon Musk, has uncensored Twitter.
Uncensored Twitter, but not added the edit button yet. So wait for that one, Tom.
But also, didn't Elon Musk not buy it? Like this,
correct.
This hasn't. It's been scuttled, but also at the time of this, he hadn't even been bought it.
Even if like the buyout didn't fall through, he has no possession. He had no possession of Twitter at any point in the last month or two. But for some reason, right-wing people, like the moment he announced the sale went through, the right-wing people are like, oh, all of a sudden my tweets aren't being ghosted anymore.
Well, it shows that they were imagining the shit in the first place.
Yeah.
So
that's great.
But anyway, so he goes, now that Elon Musk has uncensored Twitter, I would like to say thank you to #Trump for inviting me down and giving me a shout out at the podium, #MAGA. And then I'm like, wait, what? Is this like some sort of mashup?
Right.
But no, it's real.
That was what I thought. Like, I saw this tweet and I was like, oh, he must have said something that he's interpreting as this is a shout out to Tommy.
Right. Or like it was like an audio edit or something. But no. Take a listen.
But I want to thank some of the people that are here. Amanda has an incredible voice, and he's become more powerful because they tried to knock him out, and instead of knocking him out, he's become bigger. Tommy Vex. Who's Tommy? Tommy. He became bigger.
He became bigger.
Better, huh?
He has no fucking idea who Tommy Vex is. He's reading. It's like a cameo. He's just for someone.
Yeah. Exactly it. So he has these fundraisers at Mar-a-Lago in Florida where you could essentially pay to get a shout out from Trump. And I mean, I can't say he did it. Maybe one of his friends did it, or maybe he got a comp. Tommy's really good at getting comps, but let's hear it again because this is amazing. But I don't want to dissect it now that we know where it's going.
But I want to thank some of the people that are here.
I want to thank some of the people that are here. And then notice he has to look down on the paper because he doesn't know who he's thanking. It's whoever his people clued him in on. And you know how, like, in Cameo, you tell the person a little about the person you're getting a cameo for?
Amanda has an incredible voice, and he's become more powerful because they tried to knock him out. And instead of knocking him out, he's become bigger. Tommy Vex.
So I love that, like, the shorthand here, they tried to knock him out. Well, like, why did they try to knock him out? Because he was talking about political viewpoints that align with Trump's viewpoint.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But instead of knocking him out, they just made him stronger because he found his new base, which is Trump supporters.
Yeah.
Can we just pay to make Trump say stuff? Seth Putnam, anal cunt, just the best. The best.
A wonderful singer, great lyricist.
They tried to knock him out. They were successful. He's gone. Terrific guy.
The man loved his mouth. He got wonderful mouth. Best mouth. Everyone said, oh, Seth Putnam's got the best mouth.
Volvachon from Gwar. Great legs. Such great legs. Yeah, she's a real firecracker. Oh, she's not in the band anymore. Terrible, terrible person. Hated her.
He knocked her out.
Hated every minute. She's just no good, people.
G.G. Allen, man, that guy knew how to put on a show.
He knew how to fling shit like anybody. In old days, you'd go to a show, they'd fling shit maybe 10, 15 feet. Nowadays, they fling shit barely reaches the front row. It's terrible. It's embarrassing. Where are we as a nation? Nipsey Hussle. Stand up, Nipsey. Let everyone look. Oh, he's dead. I knew him well. Great tragedy. Very sad. Very, very sad.
He's
just
dead.
Lived a great life.
Let's give it up for one of the best rappers in the game. He's changing it up. Stand up, DJ Scully D.
Scully D. Hey, do you have a Trump song? Trump rules. It says here in my notes. Fabulous. Keep fighting the good fight.
We tried to say he wasn't a rapper, but now he's stronger than ever. He's a bigger rapper than all time. DJ Scully D, people. Yes.
Heard he did a song. Name checked every Fox host. Love it. Love to see that type of thing. Don't see that in the media, people, quite frankly.
Let's watch it again. This is so good. This is so good.
But I want to thank some of the people that are here. Amanda has an incredible voice, and he's become more powerful because they tried to knock him out, and instead of knocking him out, he's become bigger. Tommy, back.
Tommy, stand up, Tommy. Wait, which one are you all standing up? Which one are you, Tommy?
Can I ask a question? Like, so when Trump says he has an incredible voice, do you think he literally means his singing voice or just, like, his voice politically and on social media?
I think someone wrote down that he has an incredible voice, and he's literally just reading the words. There's no idea. He doesn't know who the fuck Tommy Vance is. There's
no chance.
Zero. Zero chance. Mick Mars, my favorite guy from Mars. Great guy, old and frail like Joan Rivers at the end of her life, but a great guy. Makes me look healthy by comparison.
Pick him up, cradle him like a little baby.
I'm just saying, he did years and years of heroin. I ate White Castle. I'm still alive and moving around. Where's Mick?
What's his excuse?
I hope Tommy's doing well.
Is he still doing music, or does he just post on Twitter?
Oh, yeah, he's doing music. He's now that he's not in Bad Wolves, he is now marketing himself under The Lone Wolf, and his new single is called Cancel the King, off his new album, Trust the Science.
Promo code metal. He's in another band called Bad Spinal Column.
That's Mick Mars.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Mick Mars.
No, it's Tommy.
Oh, Tommy. Oh, okay. Sorry. I really thought...
They need a band together.
I thought Mick Mars had a side project.
Oh, my God. His side project is like dialysis.
He's the lone vertebra. That's who Mick Mars. Got one left.
Oh, my God.
Osteoporosis. We're working on it. We've got the best people on it. Mick, don't worry. Hang in there.
Oh, my God. All right. Tommy vexed.
I wanted to ask you, do we have the thing of Bon Jovi singing poorly? I thought there was a new clip.
Oh, yes. There is.
I'm dying to hear this again.
Let me cue that up. So
I didn't actually listen.
We talked about it before. Could you just give a little background here, Darren, while I cue up the clip?
I think it's just that Bon Jovi's touring now, and like he's got a little bit of Vince Neil syndrome. Like he's a great singer, I would say, in the prime of his life, but
yes,
just
never
can't.
Ran over anybody, as far as we know.
Right, right. No,
no
leaving
steel
all
horse,
the
no, no steel horse accidents.
But like you know, like I wouldn't take anything away from them, their voices in the prime of their career, but they're both old. I think John Bon Jovi's in his 60s, right, and Vince Neil's like 50s.
So.
Late 50s, and they just can't sing anymore. It happens, but they still
John Bon Jovi is 60.
They still insist on touring is the thing. I probably would, too, if I was making
it. Vince actually older than John Bon Jovi by a year.
Oh, wow. My bad. But, yeah, he sounds like shit. So we watched one video of his a few weeks ago, and it was just horrible. But I heard that this one was even worse.
Oh, God.
I didn't get a chance to listen to it.
So this one, last month we talked about Wanted Dead or Alive. This is Living on a Prayer. So, let's see. Hopefully it's still up.
First of all, he just looks like Sherry O'Terry doing a John Bon Jovi.
He really does. He really does. He
still looks all right.
Maybe it's because I knew what he looked like before.
I mean, he looked like a pretty girl when he was younger. Now he looks like a handsome older woman.
I think that hair is a bad choice for a 60-year-old.
That also is true.
It worked when I was, 25. He looks like a mom, like an older mom. What's he holding him up there?
It's so strange.
It's a security guard? It's
like a human crutch. The crowd sounds better. Look at this fucking... Okay, here comes the real
character behind him.
I think the music throws him off. Like he he can kind of pitch shift and make it not as terrible when there's no music behind. If you scan ahead, I feel like there's a whole ego intro here. There we go.
Oh, no. Oh.
Is he underwater? It sounds like he's underwater.
He fell out of the railing at the Hudson River concert.
The underwater thing could just be like my audio sharing.
Holy shit, Robin. That was great. Whoa. Wow, you better put this on an album. Whoa.
Is this even singing?
Yeah. This is like when William Shatner used to record albums. Just will talk.
Minus the personality.
Here comes the hook.
Oh, that was not fun. Ah, he didn't even do it. He sent it over to the crowd. Look at it. He even tells the crowd, go up, because I can't do it. He points up. He passed it off. Packing a little.
If they did a movie about him right now, would he be played by Edie Falco? Would that be the casting choice? I'm trying to see who else it could be, but I just keep going back to Edie Falco.
It's really true. He's packing a little seat cup there. Look at that.
Very patriotic American flag.
I'm sorry, Sid. What did you say?
Very patriotic American flag leather jacket.
He's dark MAGA. That's who they were talking about. John Bon
Wasn't
MAGA.
He like a Hillary guy? Like, well, I feel like
I'm sure. At least as a style icon, she was for him.
He's probably one of those guys that's like, we got to take back the American iconography from the Republicans. They've perverted it. We love America. We love America.
Also, I got to say, Rob, I love the freeze frame we have right now with the woman over his arm just making the most cringe face.
Yeah, she's like, making she's the yellow cringe emoji face.
Just perfect.
It's so funny to me that he gets to that chorus where it goes up way high and he just passes it off. He doesn't even make one pass at it. He's just like, okay, you. And he like points up to the sky. This is the hard part. Like, at least try it, motherfucker.
I'm sure he did a few times. And like the band was like, dude,
don't.
Just let the crowd
let
do
the crowd
part,
do it.
Please.
Yeah.
Just let the crowd sing the whole fucking thing at this point. Put a karaoke machine on stage.
I mean, that's sort of what it feels like, even when he's singing.
Trying to see, how much tickets are for Bon Jovi.
Oh, I'm sure it's a lot.
By the way,
so expensive.
Dusty says that Bon Jovi has the Ric Flair wig on.
Woo! Someone needs to hit him in the forehead a couple times. Maybe he's having a good time.
Oldest ride, longest line.
Everybody filming in portrait mode.
I saw one person under 50 with the right correct positioning.
Go. Look at this guy freaking out. Hold on, he's down here. There he is. Okay. Oh my God.
Can you believe how close we are to Bon Jovi?
Guaranteed most of these people forgot to actually hit the record button. They just busted out the camera and like queued up the video mode, but actually thought it was recording without hitting the button. So they're going to get home, try to post it on Facebook, and there's nothing to post.
They pressed the button thinking they were recording to stop it.
Yes.
And then they recorded 43 minutes of their feet.
100%. That is the majority of the videos you will see of this. Thankfully, we got the one person who filmed in landscape and you went to record and they've uploaded.
If you go to the John Bon Jovi fans Facebook group, there's like 70,000 videos of people's feet, like one after the other.
Listen, there's an audience for that too.
Well, there's Bon Jovi wiki feet too. It's a subsection.
It's like, sorry, thought I was recording. It's just my feet, LOL, but you can hear John in the background. And everyone's like, this is great. It has like 60,000 thumbs up.
I looked it up, and yes, John Bon Jovi is indeed very much a Hillary Clinton supporter.
Yeah.
Oh,
look at all these, and look at they're like separated at birth.
No, same haircut.
You think they ever fucked?
No, I think Hillary Clinton is asexual.
Oh.
I love this.
Oh, poor Huma! She looks like she's gonna throw up.
No.
I mean,
she was married to Anthony Weiner, so that's, she's got to have a high
like
tolerance.
She had a rough time. Think about what she was going through here. Oh, wait, there's a video. We got to watch this video.
Oh, boy.
Okay, please.
So it was during the mannequin challenge, which I don't know if you remember. The idea was that you stay still until, the beat drops.
Oh.
And you kind of go crazy.
Oh, I remember.
But then Hillary Clinton, of course, being Mrs. Hip.
Oh, I remember this. Wait, Bon Jovi was in this?
Still vote today.
Where is he?
Hold on.
I definitely remember when they posted this fucking video.
Yeah, because he's on the plane with her. Yeah, he's there. You can see it. He's in the back. Let's get to it.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. This is so bold.
There's Bill.
Bill. He's smiling at a 16-year-old girl that he saw out the window.
Yo, there he is. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Oh. Poor Huba. This is her net. They were like, everyone, act natural.
She's got resting disgust face.
Yes. Wouldn't you?
Yes.
That poor woman's life.
I was going to say, get to the part where John Bon Jovi passes off the hard chorus to Hillary Clinton so she can sing it.
Oh, my God.
Love it. So we could say that John Bon Jovi probably cost Hillary Clinton the election, right?
Yeah. It's his fault.
Yes.
It's fair to say.
Thank you, John. No.
John Bon Jovi accepts the Hillary Clinton, oh, I'm sorry, the 2016 Clinton Global Citizen Award. What is that even?
That's what they had to do to get him on that plane to perform that song with her. A little quid pro quo. Maybe he could still sing back then, so maybe it was worth it.
Oh, man.
You think they had to tell the guy, all right, just the pilot, don't fly to Epstein Island yet. We're doing the mannequin challenge.
Wait, Hillary was also at Epstein Island? I thought they were behind her back.
I don't know. Wasn't she on the flight log at some point?
I have no idea.
I mean, John Bon Jovi was on the plane. I don't know if he went there. It was just a joke.
He didn't have to go to an island for that. It was just backstage at his shows.
That's true. Very
you were lining up.
I just remember those days when, not just Hillary Clinton, but everybody had to do the latest, meme, you know. I feel like, that's kind of stopped.
I think COVID sort of curbed it, so it's not as easy for these people to just go out in public and do this shit. But I'm sure it's still happening. Election season's cut, right around the corner. I'm sure we'll see plenty of cringy shit like that.
I don't,
but also, with the advent of TikTok, I feel like these challenges have become more dangerous. Eric Adams wasn't going to, scale a bunch of chairs stacked on top of each other and break his fucking neck. It's not as simple as it used to be back in 2016 to do any of these challenges.
It's just a Chinese plot to invent TikTok to get Americans to kill themselves.
That's right. It's working. Mission accomplished, guys.
See, agenda A, we're going to get them to climb on top of chairs, and hopefully the many limbs will be broken.
Yeah, that's right, the milk crate challenge, that's the one.
You guys mentioned Epstein Island. I want to mention that Bill Gates did a Reddit Ask Me Anything earlier this week, and someone asked him just what was Epstein Island like, what did you do there, and he responded.
Oh, my God.
He said, I never visited any of his islands. I did have meetings where global health funding was discussed. In retrospect, I regret meeting with him. Oh, really, Bill?
He said that before. That's his canned answer. I remember him saying that.
Yeah,
I regret meeting with him. It was a mistake. Like you meet Epstein and you don't know who Epstein is. Like, he's, a reputation precedes him, I feel.
I mean, I didn't know who he was until a few years ago.
No, yeah, but you don't have $1 trillion, though. I feel like if you're in that world, you know who he is. Famous, shady guy.
Mm. I guess Bill Gates, you'd expect him, or somebody in his on his team.
And also,
Trump sure knew who he was.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Trump's. That's the funniest thing about this QAnon shit is, like, they go on and on about kids. We got to protect kids, and there are all these people in Hollywood, and they're right. But then for some reason, they go, Trump is the savior. Trump's on the fucking plane more than anybody.
Trump, but he's just doing reconnaissance.
How do you pick Trump to be the fucking Batman in this story? Like, how do you pick Trump? Idiots.
Well, Bruce Wayne was looked on as part of the problem, but the whole time he was using those connections to solve the problem.
Wow, Sid, you really understand these people's minds.
Sid, you're dark, dark matter.
dark chocolate.
Yeah. You're the cacao of MAGA. Right from the tree. You're not even refined cacao. You're just
I fell off the MAGA tree and hit every branch.
He's bitter as fuck. Bitter cacao, Sid.
Disgusting.
You don't like dark chocolate, Sid?
No, not a fan.
Wow, so racist.
I mean, I like the dark chocolate that they make into a confection, like when it's dark chocolate flavored, but like the real shit, the real McCoy, I don't like.
I have a choice between that and milk chocolate, I will always pick the milk chocolate. I don't like, it's not like it makes me throw up. It's just not my favorite.
It depends. I like both, but I don't like ultra, like 90% dark. Like, that's too much for me.
I'll tell you what I really don't like is sea salt caramel or any sweet thing with sea salt. It's just like...
Yeah, agreed. I don't like the salt in there.
Mm. Overwhelms the sweetness.
Absolutely. Yeah, but I do like a good caramel.
Yeah, look.
Caramel.
I don't hate salted caramel-flavored coffee, but it's not like they're actually sprinkling salt in that. It's just like a flavoring. So that I'm not disgusted by.
Mm-hmm.
But actual salt on a sweet thing, no. It's unnecessary. It's just we're outsmarting ourselves at that point. We're getting too cute.
Dusty Rosemuffler asks, what about sexual chocolate?
Oh, yeah. Two thumbs up.
Mark Henry.
Is he still wrestling? What's up with that guy?
He's an announcer for AEW.
A scout.
Oh, and he has backstage job, too, but he's an on-air announcer.
Does he still write poems?
No. I actually totally forgot about that.
I was talking about that with someone the other day.
Leaping Lenny Poffo.
When Owen Hart died, and then the WWE did that farewell episode, and Mark Henry read a poem.
Do a fair,
of Owen.
Farewell episode for the guy you just murdered.
Yeah, yeah.
And didn't even stop the show for after you murdered him.
Ugh.
Owen would have wanted us to make tons and tons of money and not have to give out refunds.
I mean, but he was also brain damaged, so even if that's true, let's not do what the guy who your company brain damaged would want.
Wait, Mark Henry was brain damaged?
All of them, to some degree. Even Jon Bon Jovi.
Oh, that explains why he can't go high anymore.
This is that time him and Sambora did the Hell in a Cell match. Never from it. He's still paying the price.
Oh, God, they killed him. They killed Richie.
Oh, that's where Richie is. We've seen him.
Everybody's seen Richie Sambora.
Richie's probably he's living at home, getting his royalty checks, not on the road with Bon Jovi.
He watches these YouTube clips and laughs and then probably has sex with like a 22-year-old.
Yep.
Anybody see Richie?
Wait, no, isn't he married? What'd you say?
He was with Heather Locklear. I don't think they still are they? Maybe.
He's married to a 22-year-old. That's who he's having
no,
sex with.
They're no longer married. But let's see, who's his girlfriend? Whatever. Let's see. As per reports, Richie's currently single. Breaking. Ladies.
Hey now.
Although, I don't know. I just don't know about the hairstyle.
I mean, they all sort of, everybody in that band sort of has like the older lesbian lady hairstyles.
Well, I mean, it's a hairstyle that looks good if you're like 25. It's sort of like,
I thought he was very good looking as a young man.
Yeah.
But now it's just, yeah, like.
You wouldn't still smash Richie Sambora?
No.
What if Richie Sambora wasn't trying to be 20 still and looked like a 60-year-old man?
I think it's a lot in the hair. Like, yeah. If he was, yeah, see, like a young guy, he was very,
that works.
Pretty both.
I feel like that hair works. Well, that's not a good choice.
This is the look.
The brooding. The brooding hunk.
The brooding, but I meant he had a mullet in that one picture. That didn't work.
This is too much.
Yeah.
Too much.
I guess
too
it
far.
Varies. It varies.
Here's wearing a body condom. Dusty Rhodes Ruffler says he looks like Marty Jannetty. I can see it.
Yeah, totally.
Too far.
Oof, look at these hairstyles. Jeez Louise.
Someone throw him through a barbershop window, please.
I mean, this is what musicians looked like in that era.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, I feel like rock musicians look like this now, too.
Do they?
Yeah, certainly.
Now a guy, which one is that that looks like Henry Rollins there?
What?
One of the last pictures you had of.
Oh, it's Tito. It's the drummer.
Oh, is that
Tito?
Oh, yeah. Oh, no,
Tito
Santana. Yeah, I interviewed him. Remember?
That's right.
I didn't recognize him there. He was so mad.
He's the best. Are you going to NAMM again, Rob? Once you
oh, man. I got an email.
No, NAMM, not man.
Earlier this week about NAMM registration being open, and I immediately texted Vince Neilstein, who also left Metal Sucks and was my kind of NAMM wingman, because we would go my wingman because we would go and try to solicit, you know, advertising money from these companies, and talked about what an exhale of relief I had when I got this email that I never have to go to this fucking hellhole again. And we, you know, what's crazy too, this is going to be the first NAMM back since COVID. Before COVID, it was a known thing that when you go to NAMM, give yourself a day or two after, because you're going to be suffering from what has become jokingly referred to as NAMMthrax. Like, you're going to get a cold just from being around all these unsanitary people. So now there's COVID on top of that.
Yeah.
Oh, it's going to be brutal.
Rob, do you know what you have in common with 65-year-old men?
What?
You both have PTSD from going to NAMM.
Totally. Oh, man.
I'm just picturing like Dave from Ernie Ball right now listening to Rob say all this and crying. It's like, I thought we were friends, Rob.
Dave would agree with me. What are you talking about? There's very few people that I've
choosing.
There's very few people. One of the best small talk kind of subjects at NAMM is how miserable of a time everyone is having and how they just want to get to the bar at the end of the day. So, no, I disagree with you.
There's probably one guy in the fucking D'Addario strings booth who's
yeah.
like, I love this. This is my nirvana, you know? And he's like, man, never
well,
want to talk to him.
The one guy that I know would be Trey from Gear Gods, which was our sister site at the time, and he just really he was like all about like checking out the gear and doing video. Like, he was so psyched, and we were just like, dude, shut up.
No,
he's
not listening to the live cast.
No, he would agree. I mean, if that's what
he
happened.
Would agree that he should shut up.
No, he would agree that we said, dude, shut up. He would agree that I'm telling the story accurately.
So is he still going? Is he gonna
yeah,
go
I'm sure. I'm sure he loves it. It's his nirvana. He's that guy that Darren just described. And as Dusty Rose Muffler points out, I wasn't at the Ernie Ball booth. I was schmoozing with the guy at the Mezza Bookie booth.
Rob, I want to, before this comment scrolls away and I forget about it, Tutorino wants to know who's the most attractive glam rocker in history.
Well, we had Stephen Percy up earlier. I think he's very attractive. I have to really think about this.
Ricky Rocket?
Ricky Rocket? No.
I just wanted to say Ricky. Brett Michaels,
80s Brett Michaels is very pretty. Like,
you like that Every Rose Has Its Thorn video where he's got his pants unbuttoned, you can see his pubes? Is that like your first?
Yeah,
Rob's first temptation.
I never was into Poison, so I'm not quite sure.
Rob's like, I don't remember this.
Oh, no, I don't like it. Brett Michaels kind of gave me like alternate universe Shawn Michaels, so he has the goatee here. It doesn't work for me. But let's see. Who else? Who are some let's see. I thought Nikki Sixx as a young man was attractive.
When you were a young man or when he was?
When he was a young man.
Okay.
I even remember watching like the Behind the Music for Motley Crue, and my dad walked in the room and he commented like, Nikki Sixx, that's a handsome guy.
Your dad said that?
Yeah. He was just looking at the cheese like, oh, that guy's handsome.
Dusty says Tommy Lee. Tommy Lee's like a Howard Stern face. I don't think he's a giant cock, but that's like his one actor.
Yeah.
Well, that's enough for some.
True. Sure.
But would you say he's a handsome man? No.
I don't know. He just looks dirty and like weather beaten.
Yeah, but even when he, like in the 80s, I feel like he was. Yeah. He was just a weird looking guy. He's like a stork.
Oh, Sebastian Bach, I think, as a young man, very attractive.
But another one was pretty like a girl.
Yeah.
He had very feminine features.
I like the twinks.
All right, fair.
That's my...
Wow, you must love the...
Twinks and the Hunks.
Greta Van Fleek.
Greta Von Furstenberg, I thought it was.
No, I'm not into Greta Van Fleek.
I mean, just not musically, but like their appearance. They look like twinks to me.
I mean, now I'm over. I've grown out of twinks now that I'm pushing 40. So,
oh really?
Don't fit.
I think
they're too tight.
At the time, no. But they're not attractive twinks.
Yeah, they're like they look like girls, but like ugly girls.
They're just girls. Yeah. Doesn't do it for me.
Missed like one third of the gay population.
That's no, just Greta Van Fleet.
Oh, I thought you meant all twinks. I thought you meant
No. Specifically Greta Van Fleet. They do look like girls, but it is not attractive ones. So, no, thank you.
I mean, this is a pretty man right here.
Who is?
Thank
you. Oh, sorry. My screen isn't there anymore.
You have your side snake bank open.
It's like when someone points at a person behind you and gives them a compliment.
Yeah.
Thanks.
If you told me that was like some young female model, I would believe you.
For sure.
No.
It's just in that one
extra, though.
Very feminine.
Yeah.
But he's trying for that, I feel like.
Yeah.
That's a picture designed to look like. I feel like he's a masculine man when he's at rest or whatever.
Yeah.
He never rests.
That's true.
Always on the grind. He's a slave to it, some would say.
I
said that.
Great song.
It is.
Great album.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're really good.
They're very good. And I feel
they
moved away from glam. I mean, I feel like...
Yeah, I don't even really consider them like a glam band.
I mean, they had that look. He had that look.
Yeah.
But that was not their sound at all.
That Slave to the Grind, the actual song on the album Slave to the Grind, is heavy as fuck.
Yeah.
Very heavy and fast and thrashy.
Even a song like 18 in Life, his vocal is pretty rough.
Mm-hmm.
For that one, it's a ballad, but it's not like I wouldn't call it like a soft song.
Melodic.
That's what I really miss those kind of like heavy ballads. You know, like it's a pop song, but it's very much a rock, hard rock kind of jam.
Yeah, that's kind of gone away. That's because John Bon Jovi can't sing it anymore.
That's right. He was the last hope.
He doesn't write them.
Well, it wasn't just but like Ozzy would have songs like that. You know, like it was like the whole style at the time.
Singing is the least of things Ozzy can't do anymore.
Yeah, that's true. He doesn't have the energy to hide his different affairs either. I got away with it for 30 years. I'm just too tired.
He's busy getting NFTs now.
Oh, right. He's busy being forced to get NFTs by his wife.
Yeah.
Oh, I can only imagine how little those are worth now.
Yeah, everything's crashing.
With the banking. Yeah.
I just see it as like a bargain basement sale, you know. Not NFTs, I don't have, but I have cryptocurrency.
Yeah, not financial advice, we should say.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
But now just, like, yeah, like, I don't, you know, people are saying, oh, this is the end of crypto. Like, no, I don't think so. It'll be fine. It'll
and
be
also, fine. Can I just say, if it's the end of crypto, I don't give a fuck. Like, I'm not, like, ideologically a crypto proponent. I just believe in cashing in on the capitalist things that exist while they exist and getting money out of it. But, like, if it went away tomorrow, like, I'd be fine with it.
But even if it went away tomorrow, there'll just be some other version of it to replace it. It's not like they're just going to stop doing that and go backwards. That's
yeah, but what I'm trying to say is, like, if in a hypothetical scenario where we have socialism tomorrow and this shit is all wiped the fuck out, I'd be happy. That's fine with me. I'm not like a crypto acolyte or something. I'm just like, well, everything sucks. So if this is a way I can make some money and put some money away, that's fine
for
me. Same thing with stocks.
No.
And I can't believe it, but we're nearing the end of the show.
So. El Duderino wants to know, Rob, if Chuck Schuldiner does it for you.
Very glam.
He passes. He passes the test. He's a handsome man.
He kind of looked like a glam rocker in a very heavy band, I would say, in a way.
What about Chuck Schumer?
Chuck Schumer, very much no.
What about
hard
when he was young? Like a prime, like a 36-year-old
hard, hunky.
He's still working his way up the ladder. He hasn't sold himself out yet.
I was just going to ask you to look that up. I'm curious. He's I like to separate these people from their repulsive politics and just what do you actually think of them physically? Because it's easy to get into that.
Like, for example, Madison Cawthorn, like, I regrettably think he's very attractive.
And he'd definitely be the bottom. I mean, he can't.
Have a choice.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, he wouldn't have.
Does that add on for you that he's in a wheelchair? Does that change things one way or the other?
It's inconvenient. Well, here's
the. Oh my God, the young Schumer.
Exactly the fucking
thing.
Do the yearbook photo. What a mishkite he is. Oh my God.
That's every.
Wow, young McConnell over here.
That's too small a picture. I can't really. He looks exactly the same.
Yeah.
A little less jowly, but otherwise.
Oh, man.
What is that? He's got a kid in play haircut. What was that?
Oh, my God.
Go back.
Where?
Oh, my God.
What is that?
Like a little, like, cadet crew cut.
Oh, my God.
Rob, you'll get this. He looks sort of like Jordan Cooper, like
absolutely.
Our old Temple friend, Jordan Cooper.
A howdy doody puppet, he looks like.
I mean,
what a politics is show business for ugly people, they say. Very true.
No,
then what is podcasting?
It's radio for ugly people.
Wait, radio is radio for ugly people.
Yeah.
Imagine.
No, books. Books is radio for ugly people.
This is podcasting for attractive people. You just put a camera on.
Fair.
The McConnell looks like Bob Backlund. And that he has a Guile haircut.
Bob Backlund like that.
That's true. Handsome man. Rob, fuck Bob Backlund? No? Yes?
No. Hard no.
Bob Backshots?
Even young Bob?
Doesn't do it for me.
My neck, my Backlund? No?
No.
Nah.
That's a song parody for someone to write.
You mean me, right?
They call about fucking old wrestlers. The two of you. That's an assignment I'm going to put on the two of you. Get together and write.
My neck, my back one.
Let's talk about our music break. If you'd like to listen to some music during the week, get the RAPL Livecast music break. It's on Spotify. It's free. And every week we add a few tracks. Right now we're sitting at 356 songs, over 24 hours of music, a full day.
Mm.
As I mentioned, I picked Hand on the Pump, Sippin' on a 40, Pumpin' on a Blunt. That's my pick.
Darren, what did you pick?
I picked a song called Rise by Public Image Limited, the Johnny Lydon band. And because of something that happened this week in the Mets world where the announcer of the Mets game name-checked this song and then started singing lyrics to the song on the air because of something that happened in the game. So, but also, you know, good song. And I thought for some reason I was under the impression that Sid hated PIL. So I was going to say, like I said to him in our chat, you're going to hate me for this. I played a PIL song. He's like, wait, what? I'm not my favorite.
Yeah. I mean, I like the Pistols more. PIL was not a band I really listened to with any regularity. I probably listened to like their first few albums once each. And I was like, this is a little too nerdy for me, a little too post-punk indulgent. But, yeah.
Okay.
Fine.
I must have got my wires crossed because I really thought you said something on the air that you hated PIL and you hate Johnny Rotten and he's like a shithead or whatever.
Oh, he for sure is a shithead now. But that's been a more recent, like last 20 years. PIL was like early 80s, mid 80s. Mm-hmm. I think he's definitely fallen off the map. Didn't he like even say some positive things about Trump? He's like all over the place.
He's just
one of the original edgelords.
Yes.
Where he's just going to say controversial shit because that's like his way of communicating is by trying to outrage people.
His lane. He's like low rent Seth Putnam.
Well, I would say high rent. He's a bit.
I mean, he's still alive. Yeah, he figured out how to live.
Low rent, you're right, is not the right word. I meant like less edgy, slightly
straight
less
edge.
Edgy.
He's straight edge Seth Putnam.
All right, so that's our Spotify playlist.
I
also want to mention.
I didn't say my song.
Oh, what's your song?
You don't
I will not
too.
Stand for this Sid erasure.
You played erasure?
No,
this week?
I have to go back and teach now. No, I'm still reading that book about the history of SST Records, and this week was the chapters are more focused on Husker Du, so I picked the song Makes No Sense at All by Husker Du, which in the book it's mentioned that Bob Mould thought that was their best song. So I don't know if I agree. It's a good song. I don't know if I agree it's their best, but it's the one I chose for the playlist.
And Bob Mould is a Mets fan.
Is he really?
I believe so, yes.
I would have assumed Twins. Though I guess he is originally from New York. He made his name in Minnesota. But he was from upstate New York, so okay.
I believe so.
The name of the book, Dusty, is Corporate Rock Sucks, The Rise and Fall of SST Records. Good stuff.
And I want to also mention, if you want yourself a little more live cast,
mm-hmm.
there's never a better time to hit up our Patreon. Patreon.com/RIPLivecast. $5 a month gets you 2 bonus episodes every month. The TV column from Sid and some other bonuses, and you get access to all of our bonus episodes ever. So you get like there's like a lot of hours of extra live guests, and most of them, if not all of them, are pretty timeless. Like there's no, it sounds new, just as new if you listen to it now as you did a year ago, because we're not talking about current events or anything like that. And this month, the 2 episodes are. The top of the month, we did another watch along of the Judge Steve Harvey show. And these episodes focused on pro wrestlers. So Scott Steiner's in one, Kevin Sullivan, JJ Dillon. So I guess this whole month is wrestling because our mid-month episode, which was just posted last weekend, was we did a watch along of the iconic Terry Funk versus Onita exploding barbed wire cage or the exploding barbed wire match. No cage.
So good.
And we spent a lot of time kind of explaining who Onita was and going through some really great classic Terry Funk clips, including one with Ric Flair. And honestly, it's one of my favorite bonus episodes that we've done. I know it might sound like hyperbole, but I really enjoyed doing that one.
And I feel like even if you're not like a crazy big wrestling fan, you'll still get something out of it.
100%. Yeah. And also I feel though that even though this was more of a good quality content that we watched, that was very enjoyable. We found some humor as well in it. So it's like, usually our watch-alongs are like, let's make fun of this piece of shit. But this was actually a really good, fun match to watch, and it was great to participate in and watch with you guys. It was so
for sure.
Funny.
So that's that. And, of course, if you want to give us a few extra buckos, and want to feel like you're an elitist fan, you can be one of the top Livecast fans. For $10 a month, you get access to everything. The $5 a month tier gets you plus shout out at the end of the show, which is right now. And before we do that, Sid, what does RIP stand for this week?
Oh, why don't you do the shout outs? Give me a second to
How should we do the shout-outs? I always forget. How should we do
you're Trump listing other band names, other musicians that you love.
All right, and before we go on, I just want to give a shout out to a few wonderful people. This person's got a great voice. His name is Eric. They try to keep him down, but he just does cocaine and he comes back stronger. I'm talking about Benjamin. And this guy, he does a great job, manages other people. He's big on managing. I'm talking about El Judorito. And this guy, his last name, it starts with an R. How many people could say that? Dan R. Of course, Sam, I am too, but what am I? Who knows? We love the Jewish people, don't we, folks? That's why I want to say hello to Mindy Mayer's kippah. Wonderful girl, wonderful kippah. It's right on your head. And Jander, oh my God, Jander. Everyone's talking about Jander. They're saying, oh, this Jander, he's a wonderful guy. He's not like that guy, Shasur Sassusitz. Nobody likes that guy, but everybody likes cattle decaf. Me personally, I don't drink coffee, but if I would, it would be cattle decaf. Talking about Robert Vampiro, this guy, he likes to suck blood. And who doesn't, folks? Who doesn't? And Hugo likes tacos. You can get a great taco salad at the Trump International. Wonderful taco salad. Hugo, you'll love it. Everybody's talking about it. Lando Danks. Now, as you know, Trump doesn't smoke weed. But if he would, he would do it with Lando Danks. And LaCroix. Trump personally likes a Diet Coke. But he'll make an exception for the wonderful LaCroix because LaCroix paid him a lot of money. Corey and Scotty H. And we got Doug Pigman. Sounds delicious. And Douglas, who are you, Levison? Hey, guys. It's Josh. I gave up at the end there. So what does it stand for, Sid?
In light of the issues with crypto currently, how about we do wrongly invested – or no, really – God damn it, I just fucking had it.
Recklessly invested?
Reckless investment portfolio. There you go.
Nice.
There we go.
There's a couple of suggestions for our Patreon here. Also, the King of the Ring 98. I don't know. That might be too painful to watch.
What's the issue with that one? Remind me. That's
the Owen Hart falls down from the...
No,
from the,
that's Over the Edge. Was,
oh, Over the Edge, right. So what's King of the Ring then?
King of the Ring 98. No, that's with Hell in a Cell.
Oh, okay. That's a good one then.
Yeah. Okay.
Also, yeah. I was way off. Oh, well, there was someone falling down from a high height, though. Mm-hmm. But my first thing I saw when I saw King of the Ring, I thought he meant 95 when Mabel wins, which is probably one of the worst pay-per-views of all time. And Dusty Rose says we should watch a bad War Games match. Are there any bad ones?
I remember loving that shit when I was a kid.
A lot of the later ones are not good.
Okay.
There's that one where they built four cages on top of each other, and they had Hulk Hogan and Randy Savage fight through all these jobbers and the Dungeon of Doom and all this stuff. That was terrible.
Like the four stages of Doom or something. Yeah, that was awful.
And then no one knew how the match ended, so they just kind of wandered out of the cage, and someone came over and raised their hand. It was really funny.
Was David Arquette involved in that or no?
No, this is before. Okay. This is like 5 years
now,
before.
The one you're thinking about was like during Ready to Rumble, where it was like DDP versus Jeff Jarrett versus Arquette.
Nice.
But pretty much every War Games match has been great, even the old ones, and then the revivals and NXT and all that. Those have all been very good. So did you know they brought War Games back?
I did not.
Yeah, the NXT did a bunch of it, like one War Games a year for like a few years. Yeah, it's great.
It's a fun concept.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, folks. We'll be back next week. I'm going to be in Arizona. I'm going to be visiting Noah, and she's going to be sitting in on the show.
Are you going to be sharing a microphone and a computer, or how is this going to work? What's going to be the setup?
I don't know. We'll figure it out. Figure out when we're there. But
fun.
We'll see.
Awesome.
So we'll see you next week. We love you. Bye-bye. All right.
Yay.
Dusty's very excited that Noah's coming.
We can see what she thinks of Tommy Vext and Trump being out.